All right. Welcome into Toilets to Titles, the podcast, episode number 54. We are coming to you live. Most of you are probably sleeping. Well, I can't say most of you. I can only speak for the ones of you that I know that are sleeping, but it is after midnight on the East Coast. The NFL draft has just ended, and I've brought along a friend. He's been with us all draft season, covering all sorts of things with us on the 2021 NFL draft, and he's here with us tonight to recap. That's Shane Hallam at Shane P. Hallam. Shane, how we doing, my guy?
Oh, look, I'm doing great. How can you sleep now? It's like, you know, Christmas is over. You got to play with all your toys. You're up till 4 a.m., right? That's what we do. So it's a fun first day. I think some things I expected, some things I didn't, which is how I like it.
Man, and yeah, playing with toys. And we're like just two little kids, and we're up on Instant Messenger late at night discussing the toys that our teams got, you know what I mean? So that we can, hey, what'd you get? What'd you get? What'd I get? Oh, I heard this guy got this and I wanted that, but this guy got it. So we get to talk about all those things. I want to let everybody know you can go follow Shane again on Twitter at Shane P. Hallam. He's over at fakepigskin.com, Debbie Marketplace Podcast, and steelcityinsider.net. You can follow our show on there on the Twitter at Toilets to Titles. I'm on there at Coach Sheps. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Periscope, Spotify, and YouTube. So that's really it for the formalities. Let's dive right into the first round. So I have a list of things here. You know what? I'm going to share the show notes to you, but it's pretty much I'm sure we're going to be touching on the same things, mostly skill position stuff. But starting from the jump, really, what kind of stood out to you? You have any immediate reactions? That might not be chalk that we'd be talking about as we go through this. Like anything stand out to you?
No, you know, I don't think anything that's like super unique, especially from a fantasy perspective. You know, I think it was about kind of the players that we expected to go. You know, I think some people are going to overreact. That's probably my biggest thing. Like, I think just, I didn't really look at Twitter too much. I didn't want to get tip picks, but it seemed like people really, you know, are going to overreact because of landing spot. You know, like everyone, you know, before the draft's like, don't overreact to landing spot. And then once it hits, it's like, oh no, you know, I think that's the biggest thing. Right. So like Rashad Bateman to Baltimore, you know, to me, that's great. Like, I love it because everyone's just going to pass on him. That was good. But I think the draft as a whole, I mean, the Raiders reaching for another, you know, national championship winner seems like it's should I should just expect it. I like, you know, feel dumb there. And then the end of the draft, like once those first rounders, the team's grade are off the board, I feel like teams just go bonkers for just these athletes. Like Eric Stokes, the Packers took my 10th rated corner. I mean, he's a track athlete. What are you doing? You know, right. Like that's not the guy to pick. So it's Peyton Turner and then Jason Oway. I thought all those guys were overdrafted, but should be expected. Teams are swinging for upside sometimes that first round.
What do you think about Koromoa being the fact that they are going for athletes? He's a big-time athlete, but with high draft stock, I thought he was going to be a top 20 pick. He didn't even get taken in the first round. You think it's because people have buyer's remorse, or maybe not buyer's remorse because only one team would have buyer's remorse, but maybe a little bit of fear because of Isaiah Simmons?
I think there's a bit of that. I think it's where do you play him is the big question. You know, I had him going 19 to Washington. They took Jamin Davis, the linebacker from Kentucky, who, you know, where you slot Jamin Davis in, you know what he does. Like, Owusu-Koramoah is a little tougher, I think, to peg. I think day two is going to be good value for him. I was surprised that, you know, a team late in the first, Baltimore, whoever.
I thought for sure he was a Raven. I thought he was a Raven, for sure. And I also thought it was going to be Asante Samuel Jr. going to Green Bay. I would have loved to have seen him opposite Jair Alexander.
I think it shows what athletic upside means to teams late in the first round when all your guys are gone. You don't have anyone to take. It's like, let's go for the big-time player. And then in the second, we can take that safer guy. It wouldn't surprise me if we see a team like the Ravens take another pass rusher or, you know, and play a little safer and something like that too.
Now, before we go back and recap the first round, who are some of your top players remaining going into the second round?
So my number one by far is Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma State. He's just an ass kicker. Like, I think his pass blocking could be why he fell. Team's a little bit worried about that. But he's my number 11 player overall. So for him, I think, to be here. And I know there are teams looking at him in the first. So I think he's going to go fairly quickly. I think if it's a team like the Bengals, you know, if he's sitting there, it's going to be tough to pass. Terrace Marshall, wide receiver, LSU. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who we talked about. Zeeza Ojulari, pass rush from Georgia. Medical hurt him. Trevor Morrig, safety from TCU, which had a shot. Samuel Cosmi, tackle from Texas. Javonte Williams, running back, North Carolina. That top seven is probably pretty good.
All right. So we have some Giants fans in here, I know for sure, one of them being my cousin. The first thing they're saying is big reaction, interdivision trade, which was very interesting, seeing the Cowboys trade with the Eagles, but they did pick up an extra third-round pick to move back and get a guy essentially that they could have gotten at 10, but now they move back. And I believe they have that gives them, I want to say, 3 third-round picks. So they will have 5 total top 100 picks. So I'm pretty happy with that. But that is interesting, moving up with the Eagles. Go ahead.
And let's even say it's the first trade I've ever seen that I think involved 3 teams from the division, right? Because the Eagles were jumping the Giants, which you're not going to usually pick right in a row, but that trade down is what got the Eagles there. Right. I've never seen kind of a 3-team division trade. But I love it for the Cowboys. I mean, Devonta Smith was going to end up in your division anyway. Right. So you might as well take the picks and get the guy you're going to take anyway.
And maybe they're more nervous about Daniel Jones than they are Hurts. And they were comfortable with Devonta Smith landed with Hurts because I don't know. I might be thinking too much into it. But Joseph said he loved the Giants trade back, and he's pretty happy with Tony. So why don't you let the Giants know what they got with Kadarius Tony?
I think Kadarius Toney is going to be one of those players that adds an element to the offense. This definitely, to me, does not scream Dave Gettleman, but more Joe Judge, and I think what he wants to make that offense be. You know, Toney is intriguing from an athletic perspective, just the way they used him in the backfield, used him in the slot. I think he has some elite talent in the slot. Good return guy. Yeah, I think you could see some rushes from him. You know, there's just a lot that you can do with him. He's kind of a piece that I think will help the offense. Is he going to get, 10 plus targets a game? It's not going to happen. But you're looking for those 4 to 5 impact plays that he can make on special teams, on offense, when you need a third down. I think it's going to be a pick that the Giants may not see the value in, but is going to help their offense sustain drives, help their team make some big plays. So I think it was a fine pick. I think it was fine value for him from a real football perspective. I think it's a good selection.
They did wish me congratulations on the Micah Parsons pick.
Who, well deserved.
Yeah, me and Shane, we had quite a long back and forth since this summer about Micah Parsons to Dallas. So I'm feeling pretty good about that one.
Well, you're just lucky that Dak got hurt and you had, you still had a shot. But we thought it was going to be top 5. Bengals looked like it could fall to the 20s. And ultimately, the fact that you got him and the third round pick, I think so, win-win.
Yeah, man. So I'm happy about that. All right, let's recap. I got some of these stuff up as notes. I don't have every pick in here, but I had a few things that were interesting. So I'm interested to hear your take. Lance to San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo's there. Do we think Jimmy Garoppolo is there by the time the season starts? Do we think Lance starts right away? What are your thoughts to Lance in San Francisco?
I think Jimmy's there. I think if they were going to move him, I mean, it's going to happen this weekend if they're going to move him. And now with the Trey Lance pick, I don't think they do. Like, if you take Mac Jones, then what do you need Jimmy Garoppolo for? I think with Trey Lance, you need Jimmy Garoppolo to start the season. A healthy Jimmy Garoppolo isn't bad. I think people kind of bash him a little too much. But Lance only played 17 games. He definitely needs developed, but has those tools. I mean, I like the landing spot. I think he's going to be – I think there will probably be some people in fantasy that have him as the QB2 after Lawrence in this class. I won't be quite so bold with that, but I think QB3 makes a ton of sense.
Yep, I like him. I like what he has around him.
Yeah.
I know that they'll be able to run the ball. That's going to help them out. They have a phenomenal tight end. That's going to help them out. He has two wide receivers who don't really need to do much to make an explosive play. Like, they're guys that you can get them the ball anywhere, and then they could take it to the house. So he has a lot of upside in that offense. Supposedly he's a really bright guy, so he should be able to digest it pretty quickly. I don't think he starts right away, but I do think, you know, their defense should probably win them a few games early on. He'll step in, and I think he'll be in by the time, you know, midseason, you know, and then hopefully to help them make a playoff push. So that's Lance to San Francisco. All right, my next question is Atlanta. Kyle Pitts goes to Atlanta. Is Matt Ryan a buy? How do we feel about the fit there with Pitts?
I think Matt Ryan's a buy. I think he's usually a buy.
Last year I couldn't sell him. You know that, but
oh, yeah.
It was just a bad year. It was a bad year, so I'm stuck with him. And luckily now I'm feeling pretty good that I was stuck with him, because there's upside in this offense.
There is. And I don't know if Kyle Pitts steps in and is the player that everyone wants him to be at tight end, but Arthur Smith is going to use two tight ends. That's what his offense is. So Hayden Hurst is still going to be there too. So I actually kind of worry about Pitts from a fantasy perspective, but I think Matt Ryan is the guy that benefits from this. I think a guy like Calvin Ridley, you know, can really benefit from this too. I think he might take it to the next level, because teams are going to have to respect Pitts at the very least.
Safeties are going to have to put their attention towards the inside the hash marks, and that's going to help Ridley over the top.
It's going to be interesting, but yeah, I'll be drafting some Matt Ryan in redraft. I'll say that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm kind of glad I'm stuck with him. I ain't selling him now, because no one wanted to give me anything. So I'm not giving him away. All right. Next thing is, I was pretty, you know, Ja'Marr Chase to Cincinnati. It's an understanding why the fit's there. You know what I mean? And now if they can end up getting the tackle you discussed, I'm drawing a blank.
Jenkins
from Oklahoma State. If they could end up getting him after, you know, taking Chase, it worked out for them. Completely worked out, hands down. But I thought they were going to go with Sewell. They didn't. Chase is there. Who's the sell? Higgins or Boyd? Because I think the offense can sustain two of them. Who's the sell?
Easiest decision of my life. It's Boyd. I would get rid of him quick. You can't get rid of him. Don't get rid of him anymore. If you have him, you're stuck. Like, you're just stuck with him. You got to keep him. I think Higgins is the buy right now. He's the guy to go out and buy.
Okay.
I've already seen the tweets of, my Higgins shares are down the drain. That, like you said, that offense, they're never throwing the ball to Joe Mixon. Never going to happen. They have no tight end.
Right.
So
throwing the ball 40 times a game.
And you're going to get it to Chase and him, and they're going to take a lineman in round two. And this offense, I think, is going to be, like, really, 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 really good. I think in a year or two, it's going to be one of the best in the NFL. Even if they don't get Jenkins, I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 offensive tackles that can, you know, play a role for them.
I'm just saying that, though, like the fact that they passed on Sewell to get Chase, if Jenkins, a first rounder, is there, I think that's just, they lucked out. Like, that's really good luck.
That'd be great.
All right. Now Chicago, Justin Fields falls to Chicago. Well, didn't fall to Chicago. Chicago traded up for him. How do we feel about him in Chicago? How do we feel about Mooney, Robinson, Kmet, Montgomery? What are we thinking about that offense? You know, how do we feel about Fields?
I mean, I think it sends the Bears to the moon. I think Justin Fields is legitimate. Like, I think he's a really good player. He's still my QB2. I think the Bears, it was a nice try. I mean, really, what you gave was a future first.
They had to. They owed it to their fans. They owed that to their fans, hand down. Like, it needed to be done.
And I tweeted, I think when he hit like 10, I was like, he's going to be the Deshaun Watson or 8 or 9 or whatever. You know, he's going to be the Deshaun Watson, fall too far, be really good. You know, I think Darnell Mooney is probably the guy that wins here. I think he's a player to target. I don't know if Fields will start week 1, but we know he'll be there sooner rather than later. So I think that deep ball to Mooney is going to be very, very, very good. So I think the Bears' weapons are a little better than people give
credit for. What about Monty? Does it help Monty?
Yeah, I mean, when you have a quarterback that can run, I think it always helps running backs run better. Mm-hmm. You know, the fear always is, you know, how much pass catching, what's that going to be? But I think it does help David Montgomery. I mean, you look at any running back, the Ravens put Gus Edwards back there with Lamar Jackson, he can run. So I think, you know, 49ers running back, is it Mostert? perhaps, you know, I think Montgomery, I think both those guys get a boost with the running quarterback.
Love it. Love it. All right. Now the Jets, Zach Wilson ends up there, but what I liked was that they moved up and they got Vera Tucker. And I think they're trying to realize, or more so, walk a different path than the one they did with Darnold. You know, they got their quarterback and then they also got him some help right away. So how do we feel about Vera Tucker and Wilson? Do you think the Jets, do you think they nailed it? Are we feeling pretty more confident with Vera Tucker than you would have been without him? Like, what are our thoughts on these picks?
I think Vera Tucker was probably the best path. Like, if they would have drafted a running back or receiver, I probably wouldn't have felt as good. Because they have Corey Davis. I mean, they have Denzel Mims. I think Crowder's getting cut. I mean, he's costing way too much. But I think they'll get another receiver. But, you know, it's, I mean, look, do I love Zach Wilson? No. But I think with an offensive lineman in an inside zone scheme, Vera Tucker's the best feat in this class. Right. He's a perfect fit. So if there's, you know, I think Wilson,
they're giving him a chance. They're giving him a chance. You know, you got to protect him.
Not quite sold, but we'll see where he kind of goes.
Agreed. I think now if he's got some protection, then he actually will have some time to ad lib. And what the Jets saw in him in college, they'll might be able to get out of him because they're going to give him that opportunity. You know, he's not going to be running for his life. He's going to be able to scan the field and try to make big plays. All right, Mac Jones to the New England Patriots. It's funny how I didn't expect him to go, you know, in the first round a few months ago. And then now everyone's expecting him to go top three. And now he went 15 and people are saying he fell. So it's just bounce, bounce, bounce. Kind of similar to the Parsons thing, man. It's all over the map. But how do we feel about Mac Jones in New England? Is N'Keal Harry, is he getting a little bit of a tick or is he forgotten?
Let's not go too far. That offense is still god awful. Right. It's just not good for Mac. Like, they don't really have a running back that's worth much. I mean, Damien Harris, we'll see. Like, they don't have – you know, they have the two tight ends that they signed. That's what you get. I don't think it's great. I guess I should just trust in Bill Belichick a little bit, but he hasn't exactly had a good track record of picking first round, skill position players either. Chad Jackson went, well, that was early second, and N'Keal Harry and Sonny Michel.
Who's the kid from Marshall? Man. Wide receiver.
Some other ones. Marshall.
Yeah, man. Marshall. I'll look it up, but you keep looking at your analysis.
But look, I think Mac Jones is fine. Like, I think if they built a good offense around him, that he could be okay. I'm probably going to end up with a lot of Mac Jones super flex shares. Like, I take the quarterback that falls. He went top 15 to the best coach in football history. Like, I'm probably going to take him if he falls to the early second, right, a super flex rookie drafts. You have to. And, you know, Herbert, Daniel Jones, like, it works out. But
I think every dynasty super flex league is going to have an owner or two who love Mac Jones. Like, there's going to be two guys in every league. I think so. I think you're going to have a teammate. Like, there's going to be a guy in every one of your leagues, at least one guy, who's going to be willing to overdraft Mac Jones.
I'm scared it'll be me, but I don't, you know.
If you're scared, it's you.
I'm scared I'm just going to convince myself because he's a quarterback.
I know you picked four before, and I picked five. So if you pick two and four. So if you pick them at four, not a bad thing.
For which is it? Was this two legit?
Two legit, yeah.
Oh, I got 101. I got Lawrence all day.
Yeah. I think you got two. Might be another league that you have two and four. But anyway, it was Aaron Dobson. That was
Aaron
the one
Dobson. Is he from Marshall?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my fault there. I missed that. Mm-hmm.
All good,
I was thinking of him, too. I should have said it.
Uh-huh, me too. All right, so now next one, big one. I only got three more. ETN versus James Robinson. Have at it.
Oh, my boy, James Robinson in the hole. So Urban Meyer, they interview him afterwards. What does he say? James Robinson, Carlos Hyde, going to be a great 1-2 punch. ETN, excellent third down running back. We're excited to bring him on third downs. Urban, he's not – you know, Urban Liar is what's his nickname there at Ohio State in Florida. I think Urban Meyer uses one running back, and it's going to be Travis Etienne. You know, it sucks for James Robinson. I think he'll get some goal line work. If Etienne goes down, James Robinson's top 10 running back. Easy. But I think Etienne's going to be the guy. Him and Lawrence together, this never happens. Mm-hmm. But we got Chase and Burrow. We got, you know, Etienne and Lawrence. So I think he's such a good fit for Urban Meyer's zone run scheme offense. The one cut ability, the explosion, all the bad things.
It's like Luck in – who was the Stanford tight end that went to Indy when Luck got drafted?
Awesome. I'll
have to look that one up too. Go on.
Man, we're gonna, but I think like the bad things about Travis Etienne, he's my top running back in this class, but like the wasted motion, a lot of the things that he did that maybe were negatives, not going to happen in Urban Meyer's offense.
Cleaner.
He just stunk. He was,
but I'm
he
saying
was the worst.
Coming out of Stanford, it was like the,
it's like, that combination, right?
Yes.
It rarely happens.
Hopefully this combination's better than that one.
I think it will be. I think Etienne's going to be a steal in rookie drafts. I think he's going to fall a little bit. People are going to be a little bit afraid because of James Robinson and Urban Meyer, but I'll snatch him up.
Awesome. So, all right, one of the final two, Bateman to Baltimore. Go ahead.
Look, everyone's going to hate it. Everyone's going to hate Baltimore as a landing spot. I'm going to eat up the value. Like, one QB leagues, give me Bateman at the 201. I'm going to be here. You're going to be convinced New Orleans and Green Bay will draft some receiver in round two, and you'll take them. That's fine. I'll take Rashad Bateman, who's, you know, my wide receiver three in this class. And when has Baltimore's never had a receiver? Not one. Don't tell me Hollywood Brown's a receiver. Don't. Okay, come on now. You know, but they haven't had one of Lamar Jackson era. They haven't had a true alpha stud. And so I think they realized last year just running Lamar and having the run game be the game didn't work. Doesn't work in the playoffs. So I think we're going to see a lot more scripted slants, drags to Bateman. That's what he's good at. I think he could be a decent PPR player. So I like this a lot more than the public will and everyone else will. I think take him with some confidence, even if you're scared of the offense.
All right. So we have one final note, and it just says Packers just love Rodgers. So that's the final note. They got a chance to get one of these wide receivers. Elijah Moore would have looked good in Green Bay.
Great.
And they decided not to.
They took a track star corner.
Yeah.
Instead. So, I mean, do you think Rodgers is gone?
I don't think so. I don't think it can happen. And also I want it to happen. And part of me thinks because I want it, like, it's just not one of those things that's actually going to happen. You know, he's a Packer man. And I just don't see them getting rid of him. I could see him sitting out though, cause he's a salty dude. I could see him 100% sitting out.
Oh yeah. Packers last 10 first round picks, 9 defensive players, and the quarterback replacement, Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. That's the help he's gotten. That's Matt's note. I love it. So
ridiculous. All right. So what are we looking forward to in day two? I know you list your top 7. Are there any other storylines, anything you're hearing, any buzz? Like, what are your thoughts going into day two tomorrow?
Look, I think day two is going to be receiver packed. I think we're going to see a lot of these guys go off the board. I think it's going to be a fun fantasy day. Day two always is. I think that the center position falling, I think that's going to be kind of a hot position. Landon Dickerson, Quinn Miners, and Creed Humphrey. Like, we see them go off the board. I think we saw more pass rushers than we thought. So I definitely think we could maybe lean in a little more on corner. I think we'll see, I'm going to say one running back in round two, Michael Carter will go. We'll see that in a couple in round three.
What about these D tackles?
It's such a bad, such a bad class. I think Onwuzurike will go. I think, man, like even after that, there's not another one that I'm like, yes, this guy's definitely going round two. It's just really, really poor. Like Milton Williams, maybe.
Who's the top edge available?
Let me pull it up because my do this. I mean, Aziz Ojulari. Right. If the health works out, I think Boogie Basham is up there. If you don't mind someone that can play inside outside, I'll say a guy to Joseph Tsai from Texas. I'll say a guy to look for tomorrow is Deuode Igbo from Vanderbilt. I think he's a player that's going to go higher than people think, above some of these others, and he's really, really, really good. I think he would be a good pick.
What about corners? I know there's Asante Samuel Jr. What are your like top two or three?
Yeah, I mean, I think Asante Samuel Jr. is there. Your boy Melifonwu from Syracuse.
Okay.
I think he's there. Elijah Molden could be a safety.
Nickel.
You know, Aaron Robinson, and then Tyson Campbell as the better Georgia corner over Eric Stokes.
The better. Nate's gonna love hearing that.
There's three of them that are gonna get drafted, but Eric Stokes. Sorry, Nate.
All right, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on for the recap. Thanks for everything you've done, you know, for the show throughout this draft season. We'll be talking tomorrow. We'll probably be talking as soon as we get off. I'm sure I'll shoot you a message or something. I'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll be planning sometime to get you on in the near future, probably to do another rookie mock, maybe even to preview, you know, the 2022 rookies. But we will have that on. Everybody go follow Shane on the Twitter at Shane P. Hallam, and go check out his podcast, Devy Marketplace. That's at Devy Marketplace Podcast on the Twitter. Shane, thank you for coming on, my friend.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Enjoy the rest of the draft.
Of course. It's already Michael Parsons, man. It's already feeling good.
You're good.
Yeah.